We could be flexible on price, the guy said.
A dollar, Gregory said. That's all I'd pay for a dump like this.
You're wasting my time, the guy said.
He leaned in over the yawning void and pulled the door closed. Then he relocked it and walked back up the alley without another word. Reacher and Gregory followed him out to Thompson Street. The guy relocked the gate and walked away south. Reacher and Gregory stayed where they were, on the sidewalk.
Not their base, then, Gregory said,
clipped and British.
Mirror on a stick, Reacher said. Just a dead drop for the car keys. They must be up and down that ladder like trying monkeys.
I guess they must.
So next time we shall watch the alley.
I guess we should.
If there is a next time.
There will be.
But they've already had $6 million. Surely there's going to come a point where they decide they've got enough.
Reacher recalled the feel of the mugger's hand in his pocket. Look south. That's Wall Street down there. Or take a stroll on Green Street and look in the store windows. There's no such thing as enough.
There would be for me.
For me too, Reacher said.
That's my point. They could be just like us.
Not exactly like us. I never abducted anyone, did you? Gregory didn't answer that. 36 minutes later, the two men were back in the Dakota, and the woman who was watching the building had made another entry in her log. Chapter 11. Reacher had a late breakfast delivered from a gourmet deli on Edward Lane's tab, and he ate it alone in the kitchen. Then he lay down on a sofa and thought until he was too tired to think any more. Then he closed his eyes and dozed and waited for the phone to ring. Kate and Jade were sleeping too. It was nature's way. They had been unable to sleep at night, so exhaustion had overtaken them midway through the day. They were on their narrow beds, close together, deep in slumber. The lone man opened their door quietly and saw them, paused a moment, just looking. Then he backed out of the room and left them alone. No hurry, he thought. In a way, he was enjoying this particular phase of the operation. He was addicted to risk. He always had been. No point in denying it. It made him who he was. Reacher woke up and found himself all alone in the living room, except for Carter Groom, the guy with the shark's eyes. He was sitting in an armchair doing nothing.
You pulled guard duty? Reacher asked. You're not exactly a prisoner, Groom said. You're in line to get $1 million.
Does that bother you?
Not really. You find her, you'll have earned it. The workman is worthy of his hire, says so in the Bible.
Did you drive her often?
My fair share.
When Jade was with her, how did they ride?
Mrs. Lane always rode in the front. She was basically embarrassed about the whole chauffeur thing. The kid in the back, obviously.
What were you, back in the day?
Recon Marine? First Sergeant?
How would you have handled the takedown at Bloomingdale's?
Good guy or bad guy?
Bad guy, Reacher said.
How many with me?
Does it matter?
Groom thought for less than a second and shook his head.
Lead guy is the important guy. Lead guy could be the only guy.
So how would it have gone down?
Only one way to do it, clean. You'd have to keep all the action inside the car before they even got out. Bloomies is on the east side of Lexington Avenue. Lex runs downtown. So Taylor would pull over on the left and stop opposite the main entrance, double parked, just temporarily. Whereupon our guy would grab the rear door and slide in right next to the kid. She's belted in behind her mother. Our guy puts a gun straight to the kid's head and grabs her hair with his free hand and holds on tight. That's game over right there. Nobody on the street is worried. For them, it's a pickup, not a drop-off. And Taylor would do what he's told from that point on. What choice does he have? He's got Mrs. Lane screaming in the seat next to him. And what can he do anyway? He can't flip the lever and shove the seat off his runners back on the guy because the Jaguar's got electric seats. He can't turn around and fight because the gun is to the kid's head. He can't use violent, evasive driving maneuvers because he's in slow traffic and the guy has hold of the kid's hair and won't get thrown loose anyway. Game over right there. And then what? Then our guy makes Taylor drive somewhere quiet, maybe in town, more likely out of town. Then he shoots him, spine shot through the seat, so he doesn't bust the windshield. He makes Mrs. Lane dump him out, and he makes her drive the rest of the way. He wants to stay in the back with the kid. Reacher nodded. That's how I see it. Tough on Taylor, Groom said. You know, that final moment, the guy tells him to pull over, put the transmission in park, sit tight. Taylor will have known what was coming. Reacher said nothing. They haven't found his body yet, Groom said. You optimistic? Groom shook his head. It's not somewhere populated, that's all it means. It's a balance. You want rid of the guy early, but you keep him alive until the location is safe. He's most likely in the countryside somewhere with the coyotes gnawing on him. Race against time whether someone finds him before he's all eaten up. How long was he with you? 3 years. Did you like him? He was okay. Was he good? You already asked Gregory. Gregory might be biased. They were from the same unit. They were Brits, together, overseas. What did you think? He was good. SAS is a good outfit. Better than Delta, maybe. Brits are usually more ruthless. It's in their genes. They ruled the world for a long time, and they didn't do it by being nice. An SAS veteran would be second only to a recon Marine veteran. That would be my opinion. So, yes, Gregory was right. Taylor was good. What was he like as a person? Off-duty. He was gentle. He was good with the kid. Mrs. Lane seemed to like him. There's two types of people here, like an inner circle and an outer circle. Taylor was inner circle. I'm outer circle. I'm all business. I'm kind of stunted in a social situation. I can admit it. I'm nothing away from the action. Some of the others can be both. Were you here 5 years ago? For Anne? Nah. I came just after. But there can't be a connection. So I heard. The clock in Reacher's head ticked around to 4:30 in the afternoon. For Kate and Jade, the third day. Probably 54 hours since the snatch. 54 hours was an incredibly long time for a kidnap to sustain itself. Most were over in less than 24, one way or the other, good result or bad. Most law enforcement people gave up after 36. Each passing minute made the likely outcome more and more dire. Around 4:45 in the afternoon, Lane came back into the room, and people started drifting in after him. Gregory, Addison, Burke, Kowalski, Perez came in. The vigil around the telephone started up again, unannounced. Lane stood next to the table. The others grouped themselves around the room, all facing the same way, inward. There was no doubt about the center of their attention. But the phone didn't ring.